to the RunnerX podcast, where we talk about all things running. As many runners know, it's 90% mental. So join Coach Valerie and Coach Caroline as we go through the mental side of running.
Welcome back to the RunnerX podcast. I'm your host, Coach Caroline, and I'm here with Coach Valerie. Coach Valerie, we've been talking a lot lately about like numbers and ego and how people like seem to want some sort of like, I need to be in zone two. And for me, that's this number. And if I don't reach it, it means something about me personally. And you were just recently talking about some stuff with your the people you coach at the gym and some running things. Can you go into depth about what some of those numbers mean and what do they mean if I can't hit it?
Sure. Well, it just seems to be, you know, it's funny because I'm like, I am 30, almost 35 years into coaching. So like my whole life has been spent watching people exercise. That is what I do.
Yeah.
And people always want to know if it's in the weight room, how many sets, how many reps, how much weight, right? Do I need to do? If it's running, how many miles, how fast should I run these miles? And it's always been like this number thing, right? And then we got into heart rate. Now, all of a sudden, I don't need to just know how many miles I'm running. I need to know what my heart rate's supposed to be. So then like this zone stuff started getting popular. And this is, by the way, guys, just so you know, like this has cycled for so long. We've done heart rate zones before. They used to call them the fat burning zones. So then everybody was so nervous, like nobody wanted to be out of the fat burning zone, right? Am I in my fat burning zone?
Yeah.
And then once you could start to see your data, because see, when I very first started 35 years ago, there wasn't these gadgets. You didn't have watches and you didn't have all that. So you just basically, you know, went by what's called perceived exertion. How do I feel? How do you feel? Mm-hmm. And as we got, I feel like, by the way, working in a lab in a college as a kinesiology major, and it's still true today, most people actually work better with having to gauge their own perception of exertion than having it given to them or reading it on a screen.
And wow. So I want to back up on that. So when you say gauging my own perception. So if I'm looking at you and you're my coach and you're asking me to do something and I'm like, this is really hard, I'm going to die. Mm-hmm. As my coach, because I've coached with you, I can tell you guys, sometimes she's like, then chill, you know, back it off a bit. But sometimes as a good coach, you've said, keep it for 30 more seconds. You can do this, right? Because you know, my perceived exertion is I'm going to die, but you can tell by what I look like and maybe how I'm breathing. And because you coached me that I'm not going to die, right? Is that what kind of what you're talking about?
Correct. And it's called, and it's just, and it's, and it will, and obviously your perceived exertion will change with your fitness, right? Things that used to be hard aren't so hard anymore, maybe. And this is important because, you know, what we're trying to get to talking about is like for right now, we'll go into the zone. So people will say, and this has been very common in running, go for an easy run.
Right.
Stay in zone two. And the person is like sputtering at the start of the run. Like for them, they're like, I don't get it. You know, like I saw someone post this the other day. They asked me, I just feel like everyone else is like, oh, I just ran easy and it's not a problem for me. And she's like, I'm struggling. I can hardly. My breathing is hard. You know, there's different levels of exertion for people.
Right.
So the challenge then becomes, you know, for us anyway, like for RunRx, since we're teaching you a skill, like we teach you how to do the movement of running. So then it changes everything about running. Because instead of giving you these arbitrary goals, like run easy, run in zone two, run at this heart rate, it's all so confusing, I think, you know? And then what happens is people will say, oh my gosh, I couldn't stay there. So we get into, and for us with the RunRx, we talk about cadence a lot. So we're like, instead of worrying about how fast you're running, we're going to help you work on like the speed of your run itself, of the action of your run, which is pulling. So then we're like, the goal is 180. Well, most people, when they first start, when they first come in to run RX, myself included, they're somewhere around 160. So then imagine if I said to you, okay, I want you to run at 180 cadence, knowing that your cadence was 160. But I didn't give you any tools on how to get there. I just said, you really should just go run at 180. And you go out trying to run at 180 and you've never done that before. What are you going to feel like?
Oh, I'm going to be exhausted. And I, because I'm so winded or fearful, or wouldn't it change also possibly my movement? Yeah.
And how you feel about yourself.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh my gosh, Valerie, I couldn't hold 180. I guess I can't do this. I guess I'm not good at running. I guess I'm just, what's wrong with me?
Right.
So, you know, kind of, so the, it's so challenging, but we really, really say to people, and this is important, guys, because 180 is a goal to get to, right? I mean, everybody wants to be able to just go out, walk out the door and do an easy run. But what is an easy run? Like, first we have to get to, like, what do these numbers even mean? What is zone two? What is, like, what does that mean before? Because if someone just told me to go do that, it really makes no sense to me.
Right.
And we used to say, by the way, conversational pace. This is the words we used to use for runners, is I want you to stay at a conversational pace. And being in running groups, and I know, Caroline, you've been there. There's a lot of people that, boy, they can talk and run. And you're like, wow, that is that is an impressive skill. Well, there's a reality that if you're actually, if you are actually talking and running, you're not running. Because running really requires you to be focused on breathing and moving, you know, together as a movement. So one of the things that we tell people is, like, your sensation, your perception, your feeling in, if you want us to call it easy running or zone two running, should be where, like, you could maintain a conversation, but you really don't want to, you know, like, and but how do I get there? Because that's important too. Like, it's okay that you're not there yet when you're first starting out as a runner, right? I mean, a lot of us, when you first start running, wow, the breathing's different. There's a lot of things to go to it. So I just feel like with numbers as a runner, you should look at them two ways. And what we do, and we encourage our runners to do, is start running by feel and then look at your watch when you're done. Instead of letting that data tell you what to do, then you start just doing what you feel. Because a lot of people, we see two things. Like, one, if I'm just getting started running, then we help you with that struggle, of course, because that's like, you want to get to a place where you could run for 30 minutes, an hour, whatever you want, 2 hours, a marathon, and not feel like, oh my gosh, I'm going to not make it, right?
Right.
And so that's important. But also, and this is important, how do I get there? Well, you actually have to get there, but kind of like Caroline said, where you have these feelings like, oh my God, I'm going to die. I want to stop. Everything inside of me is saying, stop. And you have to kind of go, no, we're not going to stop. We're going to do this. We're going to breathe. We're going to pull our foot, and we're going to make it. And every time you kind of face that, then when you go back to your longer runs, they get easier. And that, so it's really, right?
Absolutely. And
then,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're like, oh wow, my cadence and my run was averaging around 170, 175. It wasn't 160, 165 anymore. Instead of saying to yourself, I'm supposed to be at 150 heart rate at zone two or whatever your number is. I have to run 180 cadence for this many miles.
Right.
And then the ego behind it, like, I couldn't run at 180 either when I first started. I was at 160, 165. And so the way we get there is, one, you have to say to people, let go of everything's easy for you. Mm-hmm. It takes a while to get good at this stuff. That's number one. Be willing to do some of these drills and some of this practice work so that you can reach that goal. You know, I promise you, 180, once you get there, you stay there and you just get better. But it does take a little while to get there. So I think we keep setting attainable goals as part of that numbers game too.
Well, and like, I want to say, I want to kind of bring up too, that sometimes people, like you said, okay, I've been training. Maybe I went started at 165 or whatever. Now I'm at 175 and I'm doing pretty good. And then I catch a little cold, or I sleep like horribly for 3 nights because we've got storms or a dog or a kid is sick, right? And so we're not at our best. We go out and suddenly we can't do that 175. I've lost all my fitness.
Right.
Or,
right.
You know what I mean? Or I can't do this anymore. How do I get back to that? It happens all the time with our runners. It's amazing because you're like, well, what's going on? You know, are you stressed? Are you working extra hours? Have you been eating right? You know, what's going on that maybe set it back? And just because you set back for a little bit, that's that ego part, doesn't mean that you're going to stay there. You may only stay there for today. Tomorrow you could be fine. But then you get those people that like chase it. They're like, well, I did so well. I did that speed, or I did that tempo, or it felt so easy. Now I want it to be like that every day. And that's when you talk about, I'm beating myself. My body doesn't have time then to recover and to be given like a chance to like get through it. Right.
Right.
Like, what does that do to my body, much less my ego?
Right. And I really think that's why that zone two and low impact and all that stuff gets so popular. You know, it's like every other article either says this, it either says everyone should do high intensity interval training, get a HIIT session, they're the best. Then the next article says, you should stay in zone two, you know, because there's a reality of balance. You can't stay at HIIT all the time and you can't stay at zone two all the time. There has to be a variation. And what I try to teach people is really for the body, let it show off for you like once a week. You know, like once a week is like your performance workout. And that's what people kind of need to get a handle on. Well, now, what does that mean? Well, that can be an interval session where you really go for it on the intervals. You know, it can be your longer run where you're like, today, I really want to try running for, you know, a couple hours, but really take it out for the distance, things like that. And then the next day you've got to do something different. You know, and that's what we hand it. And that's of course how our plans go, where you go different levels of intensity in the workouts. And then we balance it with strength training, of course, and also self-care. And what we've learned, what I see the most to be, and this is fair, a lot of our runners love to do the long runs. They really struggle with the shorter sessions and the interval sessions. And there's two reasons for that. One is you have to kind of go to a scary place. You know, if you really go for it on intervals and really see what you can do. And it's hard because I don't care how fast you run. That's not important to me. What I care is perception. Could you feel you were falling? Did you find yourself, wow? Because the fun part of what we teach you guys is if you really let yourself go and free fall, your legs feel lighter. The faster you run, the legs feel lighter. And the more I can teach my runners that, they start to let go. I call it letting go of the ground, and running itself just becomes so freeing. But to get there, you got to push yourself, right? You've got to go to a place. They call it the pain cave, the dark place. And a lot of runners don't go there as endurance athletes. And it's interesting because one woman actually said to me, I feel really strange going to a track, for example. Like she says, sometimes I'll go to the track. She's like, but I'm not a racer. I'm not really, you know, I'm just me. I'm like, well, no one really cares. To be honest, no one cares. I mean, just don't be in someone's lane.
Right.
See someone going. But we really don't allow ourselves, and this is really for endurance athletes, to just kind of go for it. So then we hold back in our training, we hold back in our longer runs even. And when I say holding back, for me, it's all about the release into the free fall. It's letting go of tension. And it's amazing. It's a great feeling. And so when we do our clinics, you know, we always have people hold each other with a band and pop off. Just for that 5 second, like, woo, I felt it.
Right.
And it starts to separate that ego, that need. And that's what I feel like. Because once you feel that, you're like, okay, I want to kind of feel that again. Well, this is the fun part, guys, of running. Then all of a sudden, when you're training, instead of trying to find a zone or trying to find a, you know, like, oh my gosh, I'm at this heart rate, I better I don't know, stop or whatever it is, you start to go by perception. And then the best part is then you check, then you can check your data. Like, wow, what if you're running and you found that fall point, your legs feel really light. And I don't know, say you're normally a 10-minute runner, mile runner, and you're going and you look down and you're at a 9:20. Like that can be an exhilarating feeling, or some, for some people, it scares them a little. And then your goal is to say that, now what can I do to stay here? And maybe you can stay there for a minute or two, who cares? But if you never let yourself find it, how do you even know you have it? You know, you may be at some zone where you're like, well, I'm here at this zone. And you're like, but your body's like, well, actually, I could actually be a little bit more and still be in whatever zone you want, you know? So this is, I don't know, to me, that's the fun of how we look at training versus letting the numbers train you, I guess is a good way to say it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So that being said, when working with you, and this is kind of the last thing before we wrap it up, because we do have our membership that comes in and lets people work with you. How do you, if I'm coming in and I'm doing my, kind of starting with my check-ins, maybe I send you my gait analysis, and I'm trying to speak with you, right? I'm trying to get you as my coach. How does that work? How are you able to tell me, okay, keep it this level, do this, do that? Can you explain to our, because I obviously I know how it works, but I want our listeners to understand, if they're coming in, if they've been thinking about this, they've been on the fence, they've been going, God, do I sign up? Do I not sign up? I really want to coach her, but I don't want to get on the Zooms, or I don't want to be part of Facebook. How does that one-on-one action really happen? Because we've talked about this before, when I mail in those, when I upload those check-ins and those videos and things like that. How do you coach me without being with me?
Right. Well, that's the key. So people will either send me questions right through the email, or what I prefer is actually watching you move. And then what I do is I voice back. So I send you back the video you sent me with an analysis. And in that analysis, I'm showing you, you know, movement patterns, how we can make your movement patterns more efficient, how it's affecting your run, of course. And, you know, here's the thing, like, let's say, because there's two types of people that come into RunnerX. One is injured. That's the number one, obviously, because we really do help you get back to running. And then the other person is the person either that has already been through that. Like, they're like, all right, now my injury's done, I want to start training for an event, right? This is someone that's not injured, now I'm ready to train for an event. And this is important because the relationship builds by your check-ins. So you have to be willing to let me see you. And I'm always like, if you really should try to do a Zoom, because then it's actual interaction where you can actually talk back to me and I can, you know, that live interaction. But otherwise, people seem to really enjoy it this way. They send me the video and I ask them, you know, even during the, well, you got, you know, this. So during your week of training, you actually get sent, please send in your video. And instead of just seeing you run, which I do want to see, I want to see a movement drill. Because this is what you guys, is the coolest part. You practice your running actually in place. A big part of running is what happens in that split second. And it's a tenth of a second that you're on the ground. You only get injured on the ground. So we work on, let's be the best we can be in this position here so that we don't get injured. So the fun part is you letting me see you allows me not just to see your run, but to see all of your movement. We work on every, so I coach back to you. So then when you get your response, I'm not just like, well, this is wrong and this is wrong. I'm not that person. I'm always like, all right, this is where you are now. And here is how we can be here. So I give you an assignment. This is what I'd like to see you do. And then you have preferably a week or less to send back to me the assignment. Like, okay, Valerie, here, I did this. How does this look? You know, for example, I've got someone right now that it just wants to get faster. He's got out of his injury. So his goal now is simply speed. So I have drills that I assign him that I need to see. And then he has to show me, of course, some running. And then I have someone right now that's like, I just want to be able to run for 5 minutes. Like, she still cannot just hold running for 5 minutes. And her initial goal, right, was like a mile. So now we're just working on, we're just going to move for 5 minutes, and it's going to be walk a little, run a little, stop and drill. So just so you guys have an understanding how I work with everybody. But when you send in your video, I'm only speaking to you, to your goals, to your body, to your movement, because that's what I do. And then you just have to be open with me. Like, a lot of people will actually talk to me in their video, which is fine. So while they're doing the drill or doing the movement, they're saying to me whatever they want to say, you know, talking how they feel. So, I mean, it's a really interesting, I like it. It's a great relationship builder, because there's things that you can say to me that maybe you don't, I don't know, have someone else to say it to. I'm your coach. So everything mm-hmm. that I'm doing for you is for you. That's what's so cool about run coaching. And most people look at run coaches as like, they're going to tell me how many miles to run, how fast to run. And I see that as the smallest part of it. Nothing personal. Like, I love coaching, but coaching movement, like, why, what's, you know, like, telling you to run 5 miles is easy.
yeah. But coaching the movement when you're doing
you
it, that's
change your movement to make you run more efficiently. That's the challenge you and I are taking on together. Because I want the 5 miles to be great and feel good, and or 100 miles. I don't really. Your goal is your goal. I'm going to help you get there. So that's really fun. And also, by the way, you know, we have a lot of repeats at this point. They're like, all right, I ran my marathon. This time I want to run it a little bit faster. This time I don't want to stop at all. You know, like the goals keep changing.
Yeah, different goals. Right.
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 So yes, and some people, as you know, that will just ask me random questions. You know, a lot of people wait, and this is unfortunate, but they'll wait until something's bugging them to reach out. Hey, Valerie, it's been going really, really well, but now I feel this here, you know, and then they'll send a picture with a circle around a little spot. Right. And I'm always like, okay. And I will give you always some kind of self-care, but you know, my response is going to be, I need to see your movement. Let's see what happened in your movement that caused that pain. So that's the other thing. Like, we are wherever you are. Like, if you are injured, I'm going to work through your injury. If you're like, I'm not injured, I just want to run this race and I want to do it this way, well, I'm there for you as well. So that's the fun part. So when you send in your check-ins, it is all about you.
And so with that, guys, I want to kind of wrap it up. And going back to what she was talking about, it's all about you, but it's also about you being coachable, maybe setting the ego aside and letting your coach, both ways, setting your ego aside, but also realizing this is always a hard one for me. I shouldn't say was, because I'm still working with Valerie, is understanding that sometimes she's going to push you beyond what you think you can do. And that's really why I believe in having a coach, because it's easy to just do what you know you can do. And you think you're going to challenge yourself. Oh, I upped my weight, or oh, I upped my reps, or oh, I went a little bit farther, a little bit longer. But nah, you really don't challenge yourself like your coach can. Your coach sees your potential. So I really hope you enjoyed this podcast. And if you like it, share it with a friend. And we will be talking more about the mental side of running and movement in the next podcast. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for joining us on the RunRx podcast. If you'd like to know more, join us at www.runrx.fit. And if you have additional questions that you'd like answered on the podcast, email us at support@runrx.fit.